We're in John chapter 5 still, working through a long chapter here. These chapters in John are very long and very full in our spiritual diet, bringing good things to the table for us to consume. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Pray that it is pure, unadulterated, Lord God, unflavored by man. Just pure from the throne, Lord God. That's what's going to change and cause us to grow. So Jesus healed someone. No, not a problem healing people. It's a problem when you do it, and it's on the Sabbath, though. So two problems here. He healed somebody on the Sabbath, so Jesus himself being accused of breaking the Sabbath, and he gave the man a command to pick up his mat, which is another violation. So he caused someone else to sin or break the commandment according to the perception of the Pharisees. Who's right? You going to take Jesus? Anybody else have been opposing? You're on Jesus' side? If Gary is here, he might argue the, you know, he loves to get on that, argue the other side, but that's why we love Garrett. He keeps us on our toes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No, he would be on the side of Jesus, I'm sure. But praise you, Lord God. What a beautiful week, and I thank you for Garrett and Annie, a couple that we were able to get to know more and work together side by side with, especially Maddie and Mindy. So grateful to have them there. Mark and Seth in the kitchen. So grateful to have them there. What a good team this year. Just the right balance of people working. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm encouraging Maddie to take more breaks next year. I know he likes to go on the strength of God and everything, but again, here's that practical guy speaking. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, get out of camp, Paul. Back to the word here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Two violations. The Sabbath is the law. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's a moral absolute. It's a moral absolute of God. We're to rest. How we take that absolute and how we apply it to our lives, well, that's where we get into trouble, don't we? That's where we can miss the mark. Harmartia is a type of sin of missing the mark, shooting an arrow at a target and missing, not quite getting the bullseye, or completely missing and hitting someone in the head, that type of thing, you can really cause some problems. And that's the case here. The Pharisees, you that are on Jesus' side are correct, at least on your side. As far as that goes, Jesus was right here. He did not violate the Sabbath. He did not violate the Sabbath. He, in fact, is the Sabbath. He fulfills the law. And one of those laws that were fulfilled by Jesus is the Sabbath. He is our rest. He is our rest. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. How can he give us rest? Does he just build a pillow for us? No, he is our rest. His arms are stretched out wide. He receives us. And we are in Christ in that sense. I am in Christ. I'm in a place of rest with him. Amen. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, yeah, you have the law there and the challenge to it. And then grace and truth, the reality of that law coming in fulfillment there in the scene of this man being healed. So now the investigation, the Pharisees they're hot on the trail of Jesus, and they've got the law was broken, they've got to deal with it. And now you're going to see, if you have the red letter edition, you're going to see what looks to me like hibiscus tea in the center of my Bible, very red, or rooibos tea, or just regular tea, whatever. Just a very red section there, and you see the hot water being poured on Jesus, and what comes out of Jesus is just truth. This comes right out. So don't run away from tribulation. You don't necessarily have to rebuke it all the time. It's not something that you have to think of as something as condemnation, that I'm going through something, or this is, I can't wait to get out of this. It's, Lord, I want to have this integrity that you had in this tribulation. I want my pages to be blood red like this. I want what comes out of me, when I'm squeezed, to be pure and right and true. And sometimes when we're squeezed, as we talked about last week, seems like 3 weeks ago, is like all of a sudden a cuss word comes out, or a sudden something vile comes out, or hatred comes out towards a loved one. And it's like, that's not right. That's not of you, God. Immediately, that's crucified. I'm not going to even be condemned by it. I'm going to confess it, and I know God is faithful. Forgive me right on the spot. And I'm walking in that forgiveness. I'm walking on that blood trail always cleansed by the Lord. So I don't hesitate. I don't feel bad and cower and 3 hours later come to God. It's that it's fast as I can. And that's spiritual maturity. It's not spiritual immaturity. Spiritual maturity is this closes, this gap closes. This time between me sinning and me confessing closes to almost, it's instantaneous. It's just right there. It's just, even sense that coming, sense that curse word or sense that anger coming, and right there I'm going for the cross, I'm going for the hem of Jesus and being healed. So that spiritual maturity is that it's not that it doesn't happen, it's that gap is closing for us getting healed and getting strengthened from God. So, amen. Instead of being mad for 2 weeks, it's, you know, it changes. We mature and grow in the Lord. So the integrity of Jesus is what's being squeezed out here. As you see that T right on your pages, that's the T of truth. That's the T that sets you free. So let's drink of it this morning. Drink of the blood of the Lamb that's being squeezed out. In verses 17 through 18, we saw the equality of Jesus. He doesn't deny it. They accuse him of it. And of course, the scripture reinforces that in other places in Hebrews. They said, well, you're declaring yourself iso with God. That means equal in the Greek. Isometrics, isosceles, those words come from that. Isosceles, triangle, two equal sides, minimum. So we talked about that, geometry, revealing the Godhead even, as Romans 1 declares. All of nature, all of creation, even mathematics, even conceptual things reveal the Godhead, reveals God, the two kingdoms are manifest. Hebrews 1 declares that he is the exact substance of God, the express image of him, Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 19, Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. I feel a great need to review today, so please pardon me. Just want to get back on the track and the groove of John here. And that significant part there is the present tense of that to me. Whatever he does, doeth. And the old King James makes that real apparent when you see that ueth or that th on the end, that's present tense. Whatever things whatsoever he does or doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So living in the past, what would Jesus do is important. We build knowledge. We have Bible studies, Bible studies, Bible studies. What would Jesus do? We're building a structure within us. But that can just lead us into a place of pride if it's all about knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. Well, we need to be brought into now, what is Jesus doing? God has created us for good works, that man would walk in them. So he's already prepared a good works for us to walk into, to walk in. So our eyes are open to that. Hope to give some examples of that today. Very important that we're stepping in our faith. We're stepping into that isometry, that equality of the Father and Son, and then the giving of the Spirit to us through that. We enter into the fellowship of God in that way. God exists in fellowship. He doesn't exist in loneliness. He exists in a fellowship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Romans 5, 1 through 5 really bring that to bear. It talks about the Father, talks about the Son, talks about us, our life, and talks about the Spirit, shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts. Very good study to go along with John chapter 5. It tells us here that the Father loves the Son in verse 20, shows him all things that him does. This is what we opened up with today. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. The greatest work that Jesus ever did was to take my sin, my ugliness on the cross, not only die, not only become carnate, to become a man, but to take on man's sin. That was the greatest thing, and I marvel at that every single day. I hope you do too. That he took that anger, he took that thing that's coming out of me, and he's still taking it. He's still taking it in my confession and my releasing it to him, my grabbing for the cross. He's taking it. The Father loves the Son. So we talked about the isosceles triangle, the relationship they have that brings them together to that point is the love of God. It is also the circumference of that brings it to a circle, and that circle is a wheel that moves. It's the power of God moving in our lives, the love of God. some distinctions. The quality of God, now talking about some distinctions in this love. It brings us into a thought of distinctions between the two, between the Father and the Son, in particular in this chapter being addressed. So it's not that like the Father loves his arm. It's not like Gretchen loves her foot or loves her big toe or loves her hair or whatever. She loves me in a relationship. So the Father and Son, it's not like somebody loving a part of their body. It's they're distinct persons. So the triune God are distinct persons. The Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct persons. And that love is what is being shared between them. And that's something that is distinct. The Father isn't loving himself in that sense. He's loving outside of himself to another person in that triune God, the Son and the Spirit. So that's important to see. There's distinction now. There's equality and there's distinction. And love shows us that distinction. That faith brings us into this powerful fellowship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working itself in love. Some more verses along that way, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abides faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Faith is like the axle that connects us to the powerful fellowship of God. The symmetry of the Father and Son become evident in us. Thank you, Lord God. Distinction number two is in verse 22, verse 21 through 22. As the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. It gives life, quickening. You're bringing life to something that's not alive. You're wakening. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Distinction number two is the will that they have. The first one was the love they have for each other. There's a love going from one person of the Trinity to another. And now distinction number two is the wills that they have. They have distinct wills. So the Father and Son being equal here, being demonstrated, now we're talking about distinctions. Two twins are same but distinct. They have wills. We see that here in the area of the Bible. It's talking about the judgment. We see a distinction of the will here. The Father judges no man but has committed to the Son. And the Son is going to talk about his judgment all through the Bible. Here we can look at a few examples. Romans 2:16 would be one example. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans 14. While we're in Romans. Romans 14 is really cool because it talks about those particulars of life that we're not really sure about. Things like traditions, things that are uncertain, things that are debated. And it talks about, you know, when it comes down to it, why dost thou judge thy brother in verse 10? Why dost thou set at naught with thy brother? Why are you giving your brother a hard time? Here's why. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. He talks about a brother being grieved by the meat he's eating because where that meat came from and so forth. Meat and drink, holidays and so forth covered in Romans 14. But the bottom line is there, you're going to stand before Jesus someday. So you could fool your brother, you could fool your sister, and to like, well, I can have six beers, I can have eight beers at dinner, and I'm okay with Jesus. Be careful saying that, because you're going to stand in front of this Jesus that you're talking about someday and need to say the same thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to have eight beers every night at dinner. You know, and he's like, I never told you that. So be careful with that. And that's ultimately what frees us from judging other people and being all upset with other people is like, hey, is this to lead them to that place where you have to be honest with Christ? You're going to stand before Christ someday. That's a reality. Just like an appointment, a dentist appointment, you get it on the answer machine, you have an appointment at 9 a.m. tomorrow, you're going to have an appointment with Christ someday, face to face with Him. So that's the Son's judgment, and we will be judged on these things. We'll be judged on these things. The chaff and wheat will blow away. Hopefully, we haven't been deluded to the point of just following a false Christ completely, as some have and some do. But the chaff and wheat will burn away. Any of that stuff, that nonsense that we said, oh, I'm cool with God on this. And it's not. That's just going to burn away. We'll suffer loss there because that'll be things that we wasted and time wasted in our life. But we will go forward with the Lord. So a lot along in the lines of Christ's judgment to discuss there, but we're not going to spend too much time there today. But He is the one that judgment has been passed to. 5:23, now we're going to talk about equality of the Father and Son, and that's equality and glory. Equality and glory. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Honoring the Son as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent Him. So they are now isosceles in the sense of the same glory. If you take away, as the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons do, if you take away the glory from the Son, you're taking it away from the Father. You don't have an isosceles anymore. You have something that is not functional. You have a non-functional Christ. You have a false Christ. So your faith is in something that is of no power. You have a form of godliness without power. The power for us is entering in that place of that Father and Son and the quality they have, the relationship they have. We're called into fellowship with the Father and the Son. Very important to understand that. There's great power there. Some people get hung up there and it's like, well, I've given too much attention to the Father. I've given too much attention to Jesus. I didn't say Father. I didn't say Jesus. If you're glorifying the Son, you're glorifying the Father. If you're glorifying the Father, you're glorifying the Son. The two are equal isos in that sense and glory. Verse 24, verily or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Thank you, Lord. I love that song that we sang that. Man, we're running out of that grave. I love that. I love the passage from death to life. And that you can experience that on it from a moment-to-moment basis every day. You can be in a situation that seems like death, and all of a sudden, God opens that door and there's life there. You find life. And He just makes it happen. Thank you, Lord God. He is the God of life. Zoe is the word in the Greek. You might know some people named Zoe. Well, that's the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's the Father. They contain life. Believe on Him that sent me. So are we to believe in God? Yes. Any God? No. Do all paths lead to salvation? No. Do you mean to believe in the Creator God then? Yes. Is that all I need? No. Once you believe in the single Creator God, you're on your way. You're at Genesis chapter 1. God created all things. You have a good start. And you now are at the exclusion of all polytheistic and universalistic beliefs that are out there, that are like floodwaters rising in our culture now. You're on your well way, but you're not there yet. So you mean one true God, the God of Abraham? Yes. You're still doing good, but there's more. What is this verse saying? Believe on Him that sent me. So you mean the one that sent the Son, yes. The God that so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. That's who you need to believe in. That is the God we believe in. Our belief is beyond mental, but one of the inner man. When belief engages the inner man, and it's evidenced in the outer man, we have something very powerful called faith. When belief engages the mind, you have knowledge, and knowledge can puff up. It can go in a dangerous direction. You form denominations, you get egotistical, you get pharisaical, and think you're higher and mighty than everybody else. When knowledge of Christ and His glory shines in your heart, faith happens. And it's expressed on the outside, and faith is complete in that sense. Romans 10:10. Great way to remember it. He fulfilled all 10 commandments. He gave us that high 10 on the cross. And it's an exchange of His perfection. And by us touching Him, we're healed. And we receive that healing is receiving all of those commands fulfilled. All the requirements, righteous requirements of the law fulfilled by Christ. Bang. Given to us. What a cool expression. And so Romans 10:10, easy to remember those numbers with a high 10 from God. 9 and 10, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's how it's describing our faith. This verse is talking about our salvation. This verse is talking about believing in the God that sent the Son. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Not talking about the mind here. Not talking about having mental knowledge. For with the heart, yeah, you have to hear it. You got to receive it. There's the mechanics of processing and understanding. I get that. But for the heart, the man believes unto righteousness. There's something that happens in the inner part of man. Believes unto righteousness. We're whole. We sang about this morning. We want to be white as snow. None of us are white in here. As what's being discussed here, we're talking about a white that you can't look at. You would melt. This is the brightness of His glory. But that righteousness now is imparted in us, and we're purified by it. With the heart, man believes unto this pureness, this purity, this right standing with God. And with the mouth, now it's going to the outer man. Watch how it goes. Goes from the inner man. Faith works from the inner and goes to the out. It's never in the opposite direction. It's always the inner going to the out. Faith is that objective. We receive it. It comes by the hearing of the Word of God. And then the believing on it is where the factory of faith begins. And it's produced in the fruit of it in my hands, in my eyes, in my mouth. Confessing is made unto salvation. The faith is complete now. If that confession is not made, it's not complete. You can't say it. The faith is complete if someone's just believing in their heart. So with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. There's an unseen part and there's a seen part. The seen part is the confession. It's the external thing. But the confession doesn't make me right. Confessing Jesus Christ and leading someone through a prayer doesn't save them. It's their believing unto righteousness that saves them, and then confessing with the mouth. So important to understand that. Sometimes we get it in reverse. And praying a prayer is something like a magic kind of mantra, and we turn it into witchcraft. It's just like saying anything else, saying some type of magic spell, and voila, we're done. There's a believing that needs to happen in the inner man. Believing, believing, believing. Why is there sin? Because there's a problem with belief. Why is the Christian in trouble? Why is the Christian falling back? Because there's a belief problem. A believing, there's a faith problem. A believing unto righteousness. So the rest of our lives following Jesus is the same way. We're taking His word in. We're believing on it. We're trusting in it. And then it's working itself out on the exterior in our lives. And this is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. Verse 25, verily or truly I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Praise God. Truly, truly. You know, this is like, listen up, folks. This is the version of this language that would say, hey, listen up. I'm telling you, the hour's coming. And now is. This isn't a maybe. This is a definite. There's a lot of people that talk that language. It's not like when these things will happen. It's like now. Or it's not if they will happen. It's when they will happen. You know, the doomsday people. You know, where the clock is about ready to strike. They have part of the equation, right? Yeah, there's something coming. All the faiths around the world believe there's going to be some type of conclusion. But here we see Jesus declaring it without doubt and telling you exactly what's up. The hour is coming and now is. In other words, it's true yesterday, it's true today, and tomorrow, if tomorrow happens, it will be true again. This is how we're to live with this reality. This is part of our faith. You've just received the word, now are you going to believe it? If you do, I'm telling you, there's a powerful agency that's going to happen in your life. And that's the purifying of this word. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3 tells us that. Taking that word in, now believing on the heart, it's going to result in a purification of your soul, your mind, your body, everything. The hour is coming and now is. This is a not extra biblical, fanatical person telling you that the end of the world is coming. It's not weird. This is Jesus saying, truly, truly, listen up. This is the everyday status of a Christian. At work, I've got to submit a status to my boss, what I did that day. I've got to detail that. Can you imagine having to do that? I got to do that. I've had to do that for the last 25 years. I got to write to a person, a log entry, everything I did. And then the guys that work under me have to do the same thing for me. And that's how it runs at work. And they complain about it when they first come in, and I'm like, just do it. I got to do it too, you know. And that's the status. Got to get your status. Get your status in. Please get your status. The status of a believer. The status of a believer is the hour is coming and now is. The hour is coming, yes, sometime in the future, but now is. Do you see that? It now is. It's a present reality. It's real to me right now that Jesus is coming. Right in this very moment, it changes my thoughts. It purifies me that Jesus is coming. I don't think of his coming as yesterday. I think of the hour as right now. That's a cool reality. That's a cool status of a believer. The hour is coming and is now. We got time to do Zoe in verse 26. Zoa would be the right pronunciation. Zoe is how we kind of cutely go with it. Verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Equality. Iso. The Father has life, the Son has life. Which one has life? They both do. Which one has more life? They both have life. Iso, equal. Zoe. I like the definitions of Zoe. Of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God and through him and Christ, who has put on the human nature. Definition B, life, real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed, in the portion even this world of who put their trust in Christ. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can't finish there. I got one more minute. Resurrection, we got to stop. We got to finish there. Because this is where the life extends out into eternity and into an immeasurable state that hasn't entered into the mind or heart of man, what God has prepared for him. Verse 27, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Now we know why the Father moved the judgment to the Son, gave it to the Son, because he's the Son of Man. He is human. He became human. He took on human flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word was with God, is God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Can you imagine just powder and bones in the ground? Hearing the voice of God. Yes, that's possible. There's no vibration of eardrums going on there. We're talking about something much more fantastic. The Word of God resurrecting life out of ashes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Damnation speaks of hell. It speaks of a place of burning. I don't think of it as a fire just being consumed in flesh. I think of it that burning of this whole life, but except in a greater degree of always trying to fill that void with other things except God, always being hungry for the things of this world and thirsty and trying to fill. It's that thirst and that hunger. It's burning inside of us. And that just being expanded, that burning being expanded where you can't be satisfied. And that's evidenced in Lazarus in heaven, where that dipping of the finger in something to satisfy, you know, just to have that drop of water. And your whole life has been all about that. It's all about being satisfied by some fleshly thing. And then the next thing and the next thing and being satisfied then. Instead of going for the real living water, the real bread of life, and being satisfied and content with Him. Whether you have nothing, little of this world, or you have a lot, none of that matters. You're content with this living water, never thirsting again for those things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, becomes a reality to you. Making me lay down in green pastures and still waters, that's my thing, man. That's where I want to be. He leads me on paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Lo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I won't fear no evil, for His rod and His staff, they comfort me, man. It's real. It's real. It's real in the depths of my despair and the depths of strength and poverty, man. I feel His strength. I feel His strength, man. That's the window. My weakness is His strength. It's like a little tiny door. And I finally find in this weakness. I'm so weak. Lord, show me where your strength is. I can't even move. I can't even think. Lord God, show me your strength. You promised that in my weakness you would be strong. And there it is, His rod and His staff. They comfort me. Lo, even in the presence of my enemies is a feast to eat. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Surely, goodness and mercy, a promise that seals us forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Even when I'm making mistakes, I'm going in paths that I'm not supposed to go, and I kind of get off the trail a little bit. Oops, what's nipping at my heel? Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. I'm excited about the resurrection. I'm excited about Zoe, the life that's in the Father and the Son and the fellowship that He's given me of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? That was our camp theme this week. If you weren't there, I'll just read through the items that we had. We took the word prepare and we broke that out. Seth did one of the teachings. Garrett did a teaching. Maddie did teachings. I did one. Prepare, we broke that out. The hour is coming and now is. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. That's His righteousness. By believing in Jesus Christ, believing in our hearts, now we can wear this helmet of salvation. That's the 10. Bang. Receive it today. Receive the 10. His hands are extended. Left and right, crucified on the cross. Just go up to Him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for taking my sins. I receive it all. The do not adultery, Lord. The things I fell, Lord God, and lying and cheating, Lord God, and putting idols above you, Lord, and coveting. All of those things, breaking them all, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to receive the fullness of each one of those from you, Lord God. Thank you for doing it, earning that perfect 10 and releasing that to me on the cross. What an inheritance. What a prize. Lord God, how could you consider, man, to give Him such a thing, Lord God, such a gift. What is man that you would even consider Him? But your thoughts yet, Lord God, your thoughts towards us, they outnumber the sand of the sea, Lord God. If I were to count them, oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord God. When I rise up in the morning, there you are to greet me. When I put my head on the pillow, there you are, Lord, to console me. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you, Lord God. You truly are the Lamb of the world, Lord God, given for all. Thank you, Jesus Christ. You are holy. You are holy indeed. That was the P, the first one. R. Rejoice. Is everybody asleep? Rejoice evermore. Give thanks in everything. This comes from 1 Thessalonians 5. We got this. Be living in this now state, that the hour is now and is to come. Rejoice evermore. Camp is like a fasting for us. Not a fasting from food by any stretch of the imagination. I will buy way too much food next year and the year after. So be patient with me. We'll just give it out. Give thanks in everything. Camp is not a fasting from food, but from normal life, like TV and cell phones and drive-thrus and Walmart and all of that stuff. It's a fast from that. And you know that the first night there because you can't sleep and you're restless and you're out of your comfort zone. God is putting you a place of trusting and believing, bringing you out of a comfort zone. Seth being brought out of a comfort zone to, you know, to teach and share, bringing us out of comfort zones that we'd be able to rejoice evermore. Give thanks in everything. Rejoice in these things. Find the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord in these things where we feel weak. E, esteem the leaders who work for you. True leadership. I will give you a picture. Rock painting down at the beach. People painting rocks. Colors. Different nice rocks, finding shapes, imagination. That's a lot of fun. God painted a leader on a rock, just about 10 feet away. There's one of the leaders that camped there, just painted on the rocks. He was conformed to the image of the rocks. His body was painted over the rocks. He had no energy. He had no strength in him. He had nothing left in him. He said, "Dad, every part of me hurts. Every part of me hurts." True leadership you will find serving you, washing your feet, poured out to you like a drink offering. True leadership doesn't lord over you. It's poured into you. It's poured out for you. When I prayed for that individual, I said, "This is, you're in a great place. You're in a great place to be in fellowship with the suffering of Christ." He had no strength. He had no strength on the cross. Everything that he got was just to push up for one breath of air. Come on, man. Push up for that one breath of air. Do you feel his strength? Reach into the strength of Christ now. So esteem the leaders of the Lord who work for you. Prove and pray was the next one. Prove all things and hold fast to what is good. Prove all things and hold fast to what is good. Prove all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's all around us, folks. It's evidence of the last times. The hour is now. The hour is to come. 1 Timothy 4:1-3, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to" what? Obvious spirits? No. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits, doctrine of devils. Oh, it looks like a place that's warm. It looks like it's a place that's friendly. It looks like a place that it's seducing. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Be careful. The Spirit speaks expressly in this area. In latter times, some will depart, apostate from the faith, giving heed to these seducing spirits. There's a lure about them. There's a lure about these things. It seems innocent. Part of my time at camp, praise God, I had time to study some things, was looking at some of the things that are out there that are seducing the Christians, seducing Christians with friendly things and bringing them to a place that is doctrines of devils. Eventually, that's the idea. Praise God. My head is spinning sometimes just looking at these things, the history of them. Yoga was a big study for me this past week, getting into, because that's invaded the church as well. There's Christian yoga now, you know, do this thing, say mountain, which is it's a Hindu god when you do that, you know, and all these things, and studying the history of these things, and looking at the Christian perspective and all of that. The Spirit speaks expressly. Seducing spirits. Be careful with this. Be careful with this. Be very careful. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. The seducing spirit. Seducing spirit. Bringing people into a place where they're going to be into a doctrine of devils. Giving worship and honor to other gods. I just cut off half the Christians in the world by saying that. But I am sticking to the scripture here, not my personal study of yoga. I am giving the warning clearly that there will be not obvious spirits, but seducing ones. Seducing ones. With doctrines of devils. The last two, rest. Seth did that one. Great job, Seth. Beautiful. Faithful is he that calls you and also is able to perform it. Seeing that performing happen in Seth and Jade in there, two young guys that we've seen growing up over the years in our church, seeing at camp. Camp is one of those places that's been a common place over the years, even though our fellowship has moved around. The Camp Gregory has been one of those common places, and Seth, Jaden are some that have been there a long time, and now to see them rising up as leaders is very, 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 very wonderful. Edify one another. Comfort one another, be at peace, the last word. Just leave with the last picture in your mind. Up at the open air chapel where we had communion, Maddie gave the communion service. The first thing we did as a demonstration, everyone got around the walls of that church, which have no walls. It's just a foundation, kind of elevated a little with a pulpit. And we all became the walls of that church, interconnected, holding hands. And that's the picture of edifying one another, comforting one another, being at peace with one another, that you are the living stones in the church. And think of that. You don't go to church, you are part of it. You're part of the stones here. So important to share your testimony. So important to bring to the body things to give and share. God has called you. He's called you with a certain aspect, a certain to be a part, to be a hand, a finger, an eye, an ear, whatever it is. All of those analogies mean that you're part of the living organism of God. You just don't go there for entertainment, to go there to learn. You go to be part of the body, the bride that Christ died for. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for your word today, Lord God. Thank you for setting us free in the truth of your word, Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to create denominations. We're not here to create, this is what I think, and that's what my opinions are. We're here to be set free by your word, Lord God, set free from the wiles of the enemy, to be set free to follow you in all purity and wholeness, to follow you with full eyes open, Lord, to receive the light of you, that our whole lamp would be filled with light. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for those that aren't with us today, Lord God. We ask a special blessing, just thinking of that equality and that isos that you have, the Father and the Son, Lord. We want to enter into fellowship with that right now, Lord God, in our faith. We want to believe in the power of the Holy Ghost descending upon us, filling us with fruits. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for this week before us. It's going to be filled with great things. Amen.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings the dead to life. place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow.